This is Chase Garbarino, co-founder and CEO of HQO, and this is the Let's Go Show.
Let's go!
All right. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, the Let's Go Show. We're remote today. Well, I'm in the office. Kevin's in the office. It's just you, Chase, that's remote, and the pod guy's remote. So this is the first time we're doing it on Zoom, I think, or at least I am. Chase is good at it. But I want to kick things off. Where are you, Chase?
I am in Florida.
One of the big hotspots right now in commercial real estate.
That word hot. Yeah, well, I was going to say hotspot means different things to different people. But it is a commercial real estate hotspot, that's for sure. The whole of if you believe Twitter, which you shouldn't, the whole of Silicon Valley and New York has moved to Miami Beach and Palm Beach and Fort Lauderdale and all that.
So
I haven't totally seen it myself, but
I know you're not in Miami, but I know you've been talking with a handful of folks about the Florida sort of space and opportunity. You know, up here in Boston, still relatively quiet. I mean, things are starting to open up a little bit more. Governor Baker, you know, just relaxed some of the office rules. I think we're up to 50% capacity, starting to open restaurants. What's Florida like right now? I mean, is it really a tale of two cities?
It is definitely different than the Northeast, that's for sure. They've taken the very different strategy in terms of, you know, early on in the pandemic, like I think the comparison Florida, New York, they sent all their PPE to the nursing homes instead of, New York had a little bit of a different strategy that didn't work out quite as well, but they sent their PPE to the nursing homes. They've tried to be very targeted. Now, a lot of people think they've been too open and that it's not the right strategy. I'm not here to comment on COVID strategy, but from a business perspective, they seemingly have done a good job of balancing public health measures with, you know, policy from an economic standpoint to keep things open. And as we've seen, you know, Blackstone, Goldman Sachs, a number of venture capital firms out in Silicon Valley have moved, or at least are opening up locations, I should say, in Florida. I think Starwood has a new spot down in Florida as well. So I don't think it's purely just because of COVID. I think, you know, to steal a quote from Walter Wriston's CEO of Citibank, capital goes where it is welcome and stays where it is treated well. Obviously, Florida, in terms of the tax treatment and that Miami mayor seems to be incredibly business friendly. He's like personally doing customer service on Twitter with startups. You know, I think they've got a compelling narrative to attract a lot of businesses down south.
He is a big Twitter guy.
yeah, he is.
Like Kevin. Kevin's also.
I mean, I think you probably have the most followers out of all of us at this point, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, let's move to another sort of evolution of getting folks back to the office. There's been some interesting commercial real estate landlords coming out and studies around, I think what you dubbed it, Chase, or maybe you stole it from somebody, amenity warfare. People back to the office, right? So, you know, one of the things is where I hope it doesn't go, and I'll kind of kick things off. You know, one of the things that we saw in Silicon Valley with Google and Facebook and some of those larger companies, you know, what they did to smaller companies in order to attract talent was over-index on like perks and pool tables and ping pong tables and snacks. And I think that hurt overall, the startup community, right? Because you had a bunch of small companies that they couldn't keep up. So where do you think this amenity warfare goes? Do you think it's a short-term stunt to bring folks back to the office? Or is this a true shift in commercial real estate where the amenities within a company will live with the landlord?
Well, Kevin's a big Pong guy, so we'll start. Yeah, what do you think, Kev?
Well, I'm not super into ping pong. I am, for the record, just I want to be clear about that. But I think there's probably going to be some things that, but even before COVID, I saw like the amenitization of the workplace, you know, having a trend slowly but steadily working towards childcare being more readily available at the office. You know, even with why do we exist in the first place? Because buildings were amenitizing their spaces, bringing stuff to the office, right? And you saw that trend a little bit more communal focused. I think, like most things that have a certain trajectory, there's one event that really shoots it up real high and changes the course of it, but for the better. And I think COVID was just that for the amenitization of it. I think there's probably going to be some flash in the pan types of amenities brought to buildings, but then there's going to be some really long tail things that are just going to happen at your office more often than not. And that was going to be the situation pre-COVID anyway. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's here to stay. I think, and I think it was, you're right, it started before COVID, and it was kind of seen as like, well, if we're a leader, we have to do it. But I think everyone is going to have to figure out amenity packages that create much more targeted, like commercial real estate has never been incredibly targeted, right? Like when you think about other businesses, there are software businesses that create CRMs just for the healthcare industry, right? Like, you know, you're starting to see with life sciences lab space, obviously there's within the physical building different requirements of the product. But I think you're going to start to get way more nuanced. The smart operators are going to be way more nuanced about the services that come with physical space for specific types of companies. So like what a tech company like ours needs out of their space is going to look different than a law firm, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the smart operators are going to get start to be more targeted in what their kind of offerings look like. Now, there's always restraint around location. You know, you can't ideally, you know, we would be clustered in a building with, you know, if we could pick our ideal building, it would have commercial real estate and other tech companies in it, right? Like being around an ecosystem of people that we do business with would be ideal. That's still difficult because of location, right? Like where you are in a city, what neighborhood, it's hard to, you can kind of get these like mini clusters going, but at the very least, if you have a couple of tech companies and a couple of law firms in a building, how do you have certain services that cater to those types, right? And it's always been kind of dictated by class, right? So class A, class B. But I don't, you know, like, I think you're going to see smart operators going much heavier into what services and amenities they provide based off of the company type and industry, and not just the ping pong tables and kind of like the lightweight bullshit
that's some fluff, right? Yeah. That doesn't, ping pong tables don't actually have an impact on my life, right?
Whoa.
Listen, shocker.
They did a couple years ago.
There was no ping pong in my life. I didn't have a ping pong table growing up. But
sounds like somebody who was pretty into ping pong before.
Right. Coming from the guy who plays ping pong.
That's pretty good. I'm curious, Garbage, you were talking more about the nuance and the offering of amenities based on the type of organization within the building. What are some amenities that are going to be pervasive and stalwarts at all of the properties, right? The one that Becca made mention of in our Slack is, or maybe it was Lauren, about childcare, right? How much easier would it be to have childcare attached to a place you already have to go to every day? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you have to leave early on Mondays for childcare pickup, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. You know, maybe I'll move back to the city, you know, because then I won't have to drive 45 minutes and have the kids in childcare. It certainly makes things easier. It kind of depends if you got a routine. I mean, obviously, coming off the last year where childcare and schools were sort of out of session, I think everybody's so super, super focused on childcare right now, right? Because they weren't in school, so they were home. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's super lasting, but it's certainly, okay.
I'm going against Gomer. I think it's super lasting.
Okay.
Yeah. I think bundling more
childcare and schools in a building,
particularly because pandemic, I shouldn't say that, like where lockdowns have had some of the biggest you know, negative impact is. Working moms in particular, I think, have left the workforce in some of the highest numbers. So, you know, you saw a lot of gains in, you know, women in the workplace moving up, getting higher level positions. And this has put unusually kind of unequal strain on women in the workplace. So I think that's going to be a focus in order, you know, to try to undo some of what we've seen done in the last year. I think that's a big piece. And I think I think smart operators are going to start to break this down into like demographics and audience types, right? So you've got your convenience package, and it's not strictly for working parents, but when you think about working parents, like, I don't have time, Gomer, you don't have time to like do stuff outside of work. Like, I got family time and I got work time, and that's kind of it.
Just name a ping pong game with Kevin.
I got time for that. Kids, we can we kick off the week with a 6 a.m. ping pong game every Monday morning.
Other than that, everything else is flexible.
Really resets the head.
Just get the blood flowing, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So, but you're going to have things like for someone like me or anyone who has kids, it's like, how do you just make my life more convenient? Like, I got to do all this stuff that I don't have time to do, so I probably don't do it. But, like, can you bring the dry cleaning, laundry, childcare, tax services, health services, like all the things that
I think there's an omni-channel, but I think there's a digital component to that too. Like, because there's two hubs in any individual, right? To make your life easier. There's something around the home and there's something around the office. But if, you know, the perk and a Bright Horizons outpost in an office might not satisfy everybody, but something like a care.com solution or a strict partnership with somebody that can provide other types of care that's tied to the building that makes it easier for pickup and drop off sort of around both. I think it's a good way to think about it. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so you've got like people that are busy. You're going to have the executive suite that's looking for platinum luxury, much more higher end type experience. And then you're going to have working perfect, like the Yo Pros, you know, the 20 something. Yeah. You know, the 20-somethings that are looking for professional development from a career standpoint, and then social. So, you know, Kev's crew for the ping pong tourneys.
Right. Just ripping Brandy Pete's after work. Mm-hmm. God, those are the days.
Brandy Pete's. I hope that place is still around.
It is.
Yeah. So wait, what's Brandy Pete's?
It's a great spot and great business lunch spot in Boston. Yep. Business drinks. Yeah. It's kind of near P.O. Square.
Oh, cool.
Coming from the guy who's not a dealer.
Probably not going to go there.
Probably not going to get in anyways. You know, doesn't really matter.
All the amenitization we're really talking about is hyper-focused on the individual, making their life part of work easier, right? Childcare. Greg, you were talking about dry cleaning. What
is this easy? Looking like this every day? You think this is easy, Kevin?
I'm sure it is. What do you think? I was talking to my neighbor who works at BXP, and he was talking about what services that they're thinking about offering to tenant organizations as a differentiator in market. And this is kind of independent of COVID or anything like that, or the lure to get people back in, but there's such an opportunity for landowners to offer different services to tenant organizations.
I think we talked some of that. So Boston Properties, you know, they do a pretty good job with their flex solutions. I think the best thing to do around a tenant is the tenant organization is flexibility. But also there is a ton of convenience around the space, right? We're expecting just through some of the surveys and markets, a flurry of activity as folks and companies retrofit their offices, right? So they move away from kind of the one-to-one employee to desk ratio, and they get more collaboration space, and they get more, meeting space. So, you know, what can landlords do there? I mean, that's really what makes it easy.
Like a build-out company, right? Like,
right.
Go.
Even the IT infrastructure side too.
Yeah. But, you know,
and then flexible leases,
service.
That's where it's at.
Bundle that service back to the tenant organizations. Hey, we've got a deal with build out company X. You get 15% off if you go through us for your build out, because you used to have 60 people in one floor. Now you're going to need 30 people on that one floor, and we'll spread it out differently, right? Like, everyone's going to need that service.
Yeah. I think you're going to see, and I've been hearing more of this in New York, where they tend to be out front as is, a lot of health services. So you think about like company Virtue Dent that brings dentists to your building. You've got 2020 eye care. You've got, I actually was talking to somebody who mentioned they were bringing, somebody who does Botox to a building, which seems crazy.
I was thinking about getting it, like, in general. You guys can see.
I actually heard it from someone saying you did get it.
Yeah, no, but do you see, like, you can see the so we're on Zoom, you can see the, the wrinkles in my eye.
That's why you had your camera halfway.
He's got a Botox job on me.
He's really proud of his forehead.
Botox is super hot right now in the commercial real estate space, I believe.
But I think, like, bringing health and wellness services, everyone's been kind of focused on fitness, but I think a lot of it's going to be like personal care, things like that. You're going to start to bring vaccination into the building.
Plastic surgery.
I've heard a lot of people bringing vaccination testing, things like plastic surgery. So I think that's going to be a big trend. And then some groups that I think I've been really impressed with have been talking about, like, speaker series and, like, really good kind of content and programming around, like, professional development, where I think there's an added draw to doing that at the building level versus just purely in-house at a company, because inherently, if you have some compelling speaker or something like that come in, you know, I think some of the most beneficial ones we've done at HQ is when it's somebody from outside the company. So if you add in also getting to know people outside your company at the building level, it kind of fosters, you know, a greater kind of network and sense of community for people in the building. So I've been hearing some interesting stuff on that. I think one of the most focused on, but, like, I think people cheapen it with regards to food and bev, like, really good food and beverage, like, in terms of, like, coffee and lunch offerings and things like that, is a major differentiator from home. Obviously, Gomer here is like a chef who probably just cooks himself nice stuff all day and makes, like, lattes and stuff like that. But I don't have time to do that. So, like, the draw
from home, really I just cook all day.
Yeah. But you're like a master chef, you know? Like, I don't know.
Oh, this is great. Everybody's going to think that. Awesome.
But, like, I don't have, I think, like, it seems some people, I think, undervalue it, but it's a huge draw for people to get up and get out of their house. Like, really good food and beverage is something that you can't get at home.
Sweetgreen. Not that, you know, they don't do a good job, but they're the only place open by our office right now.
Yeah, that is.
So let's keep the lightning going, because, like, without.
Yeah, I got to go.
Yeah. Let's keep the lightning going. So, Kev, you know, let's go back to return to office. I had an interesting conversation about a guy that completely flip-flopped the other day. I asked him about his return to office plans, and he was like, our company has absolutely perfected working from home. And I was like, awesome.
Get,
like, what did you do? And he's like, oh, all the people that have been here for, like, 5 to 10 years, like, we're in our group, whatever. And I was like, well, what about new hires? Have you scaled the company? He's like, no, we're in complete layoffs. We tried to hire people remote, and it failed miserably. I'm like, so you yeah, you have it. Yeah. So you have it perfected. He's like, oh, no.
Yeah. If layoffs means being in a groove, that's
so,
like,
so the point of the story was, so he completely flip-flopped, because at the end of the conversation, he's like, you know, we have to get back to the office. So, Kev, you're over under. This was a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about companies return to office, right?
Yeah.
You're over under. I mean, you completely missed the ball on this one, Kev, because what do we have? Facebook coming out.
Get out of here.
We have, hey,
you guys were both like December 2022, and I was like viciously under December 2021. Yeah, and then Facebook last week said it. I didn't even think it was going to be that fast, frankly. But yeah, of course.
So major companies are starting to turn, and you're starting to see, have you guys seen Amazon? So Amazon, have you seen their new building design?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It looks like a drill bit almost to the sky, which is hot right now. But anyways, more importantly, Kev, I think
a Facebook announcement was that they're fully committed to bringing people back in person.
It hurts innovation, right? Like, I'm just firsthand. Last week, I was talking to a salesperson who I wouldn't have crossed over with during over Zoom or whatever. He's like, man, I'm really having a tough time with this one customer about mobile access. And I was like, yo, just get me on a call with them 30 minutes. That like interaction, and we got the call later this week. That interaction where I'm helping out a teammate on something I know doesn't happen unless we've got water cooler passing by one another. And I was reading on how Apple designs their headquarters out in Cupertino. It's all one big circle, right? And it's designed for every pod to be about 7 minutes walk to the cafeteria, right? So right. that you
have because they're thirsty. Pass. Yeah. Water yeah. cooler.
Yeah. You have to pass. Innovation happens where people from different silos of the business interact, right? Yeah. Oh, wow. That's an interesting bit of information. Let me go take and run with this and design something for it. You know, like it just doesn't happen remote. Any company that's prides themselves on building new products and doing so aggressively is going to have an in-person component. I just don't see how innovative companies can innovate remotely.
Yeah, it's so crazy to me. And this is one of the things that it's fascinating with the Facebook announcement is how they're so willing to come out 30 days into the pandemic last year being like, boom, we're a leader in remote. And just like they never said it the other day, we are committed to in-person. And I guess, I mean, as the old saying from our last company, the internet forgets.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, totally.
I guess I'm the only one keeping track because I was like, I can't believe they're just switching up the messaging like this. But the internet forgets. I bet most people don't remember Zuckerberg's diatribe. He wrote that like 1,000-word post on Facebook about, you know, remote work and we're going to be tapping into talent pools all yeah. over, blah, blah, blah. But I've had, two or three conversations with companies that did something similar where they were kind of pumping the remote situation and now they're doing the polar opposite. So I think it takes a leader in some, whether it's Facebook or somebody coming out and saying, we're back, and it is you're going to kind of have a wave and a push that I think we'll start to see. So McCarthy, I think maybe you won the over under.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I think we need a few more to start tipping.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's early indication.
I'll ping pong you for it. Right. Now.
Ping pong for it?
Well, yeah. I'll ping pong you for it.
Yeah.
That when you'll say, pong it. You pong it.
Play ping pong. Yeah. So you kind of, yeah. Yeah. All right. You might have won this round.
I definitely did. But whatever you need to tell yourself to prevent me from winning it.
No, we need to see more of a tip. I mean, I think...
Sure.
I think you're starting
We've been working together for, 15 years? You know, you still need to see just a little bit more, though. That's nice.
Facebook is one. Doesn't rule all.
I'm guessing with the Texas announcement, you'll hear from
companies. I was going to say, Texas and Mississippi, we'll see what happens there.
Right. Texas is open for business. I'm sure you'll start to hear some groups in Texas bring people. Although, I think it's more the companies that are in states that have harder lockdowns are the ones that are a little bit more public about remote policy. So I'm actually not sure companies in Texas you're going to hear from saying we're back because they're going to be like, well, we never said we were leaving to be, you know, we didn't take these kind of grandstands on, you know, the future of remote and stuff like that. So I think it'll quietly just
It looked like a banger of a line too.
I know he was going to drop some serious knowledge and then boom, the internet. You know, for all that talk about Florida, right, being such a hot environment, everybody go down to Miami. Their infrastructure stinks.
This guy like zero hot spots.
Oh my god, what a way to end the show! This is actually great. We can just end it without him. And this is also why remote work isn't going to work. Because here we are on a Zoom call trying to do some remote work. And it doesn't even work. And he's just sitting there frozen.
Yeah.
So, I'm in. Let's bring it back.
What, remote or bring him back to the office?
Bring it back to the... Yeah, now he's gone. Bring it back to the people. All right, Kev, final parting words. He's gone. He's off the show for now. So we got to come up with a new title, catchphrase, new host. Kid can't even work remote.
Whoa.
Give me a final... Give me your parting words for today's lightning round.
I don't
think it was very lightning. We talked about one topic because we got completely derailed.
It was more of a thunderstorm there.
We're iterating. Things will start to get better as we go. We're bringing in more production value. We're bringing in some extra help. You know, so we're getting better.
I would love to see landowners or building owners bundle more physical components of the building, not just the space, but the fact that this building or Comcast has, you know, let's say there's 10 different companies in this building that Comcast is selling to 10 groups equally, right? They should, the landlord should bundle that and make that a service, plug and play, and then security your own.
Saying that because the internet stinks here?
No. No, not particularly, but
right, just efficiencies.
It comes up in mobile access all the time, right? Like the reader that we have in the elevator to get into the building is HID. And then there's 10 different reader organizations at each of the floors, right? If that could be bundled and offered as a service that the tenant can use or not use, you'd have to like think about the security implications, but it seems ridiculous that there's 11 contracts for cable into the building and not one that's segmented. So that's my parting thought. What's yours?
Mic drop. I'm going to let you go. That's it. I'm done. I can't top that. Fantastic.
Okay. Excellent.
That's it for the show.